Welcome to the Way Shamanism podcast. I'm your host, Jessica. I am an Essene shaman, and here I share all about my work with you. And this is all based on my own experiences and opinions, never a substitute for medical advice. Let's begin our journey. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode. Today, I want to talk about a subject that is very near and dear to my heart. And it also explains a lot about what is actually happening on an energetic, on a soul level with entity attachments, because we're going to talk about binging. And this is something that is not talked about enough. And it makes sense because there is so much shame that exists about binging. And when people suffer from any type of eating disorder, there is such a disconnect in healing because of this shame, and also because it's such a triggering subject that is so, it's like an open wound every day. So when we're constantly subjected to not just, let's say, standards and ideals about quote-unquote beauty, which are, of course, totally unrealistic and unattainable, and also change every decade, pretty much. And around eating, there's a new diet every week. There are endless opinions about how we should eat. So we are constantly being bombarded with information that's is supposed to tell us how we should intrinsically, as a unique individual with a unique system, a unique body, also totally unique frames of reference, experience around eating and trauma as well, healed or unhealed, how we should function in that system. And this is not something that we should take lightly, because when you struggle with eating, this is a huge problem, because it's not like, let's say, compared to alcoholism, that you can heal it, you can go through a 12-step program, which, by the way, did you know that that was channeled? And I'm not saying that it's satanic, it doesn't work. And by the way, fallen angels have a lot of accurate information that they give us, but that is actually a channeled program. Interesting fact. But say you suffer from alcoholism, also an issue where there is energetic, demonic attachment in play. When you are able to release yourself from it, through whatever way, maybe it's a 12-step program, maybe it's journeying, maybe it's something else, you can not drink alcohol the rest of your life. You can avoid bars. You can avoid your friends, people in your circle who enable drinking. But with eating, you have to eat or you're going to die. So you're going to have to figure out how to heal this issue so that you can survive. Because we eat multiple days. I mean, when I was anorexic, I didn't eat. But let's say that, you know, you are maintaining some kind of food consumption. You have to constantly think about what you're going to eat, when, how much, what did you eat yesterday. If you don't have a natural connection to food and you have to look outside of yourself for what to eat, how much and how, it is the most excruciating torture, like prison in your mind to be in. And this is why I have a very personal beef with the entity attachment, no pun intended, that causes binge eating. And I know now that I had to suffer from this for such a long time so that I could learn what the actual effective, sustainable way to heal from binging is. And not just binging, any type of disordered eating, whether it's body dysmorphia, which is not even necessarily connected to food consumption, although for the vast majority of people who suffer from body dysmorphia, it will be, but also anorexia, yo-yo dieting, or just constant dieting. Bulimia, orthorexia is a big one. There are so many people using quote-unquote spiritual diets like veganism or vegetarianism or keto as ways to restrict themselves by spiritually bypassing yourself and telling yourself that you're doing something that is healthy or good for the environment. By the way, definitely listen to my podcast episode about veganism if you haven't yet. So we can, even in the, let's say, academic, intellectual, spiritual realm, continue to restrict and control and bypass ourselves for the rest of our lives if we want to, but you are still using something outside of yourself to try and heal something that is actually disconnected inside, whether it's unhealed trauma for every single person that I've seen that has struggled with disordered eating. There is soul fragmentation that needs to be healed. So that's why in Thrive, by the way, if you don't know what Thrive is, it is my real initiation into eating according to natural law in a way that's going to heal your connection with your body, which is not just going to heal and bring into alignment how you eat, but also the relationship with your body. There is a real, a block in consciousness, a sort of deception that comes in with disordered eating, which also causes body dysmorphia, where you just cannot see clearly what your body looks like, what a realistic, natural food intake is for your specific body. And it also makes it impossible to appreciate your own beauty. And that fragmentation in self-worth shows up in every area of your life, everything that you do. It's going to completely block you from your purpose. It's going to block you from your gifts. So if you have any issues with disordered eating, you have to heal those first in order to flourish in other areas. This is why I created Thrive. And this is also why I created Source Alchemy. And the other offerings that I have are all about journeying, are all about healing, spiritual battle. But I have only created programs. I don't like to call them courses because they're not courses, but they are real immersions into these areas of life in Thrive, healing, in Source Alchemy, sexuality, because those are the most foundational areas of life where I have seen in my practice that the most people have the most blocks. Men and women as well. And this is because of the reversal. This is because of collective trauma. It's because of soul fragmentation. And it's also because the fragmentation in this area that exists in most people to some degree is constantly reinforced by the society that we live in every day. Just think about the relationship to food that's propagated and how all of this energetic mind control is applied to us every day to affect how we eat, to get us essentially as sick as possible. That is the unfortunate truth of society that we live in today. And also think about the food industry being completely in control of government, of policies in schools, the fact that pretty much 95% of what's available in supermarkets is just not fit for human consumption. So I could go on about this forever, but I want to talk about binging specifically because binging is torture. And in all of the illnesses that I've experienced and just only as part of my fragmentation and trauma around eating specifically and having body dysmorphia and being anorexic, it almost killed me because I actually had a heart attack because of something called refeeding syndrome. This is very dangerous and very much overlooked. So I always like to mention that if you have been restricting a lot, you cannot just start eating anything again because your body is lacking the minerals to actually metabolize and process certain foods, and especially sugar, because sugar, again, is one of those ingredients that is not fit for human consumption. Of course, fructose is a different thing, aside from the fact that the fruits that we eat now have, let's say, at least quadrupled sugar content compared to what they were naturally. So even for fruits, it's not ideal, but And Thrive is not about restricting anything and not eating fruit or anything like that. But I'm just saying that sugar is very, very dangerous for us. It's a toxin and it's in almost anything. So when you're not aware of, there's such a gap in education around food and what we should eat and how, and this is all included in Thrive. But if you have been restricting, whether it's because you're anorexic, whether it's because of poverty, and you ingest a certain amount of sugar in a certain amount of time, it will stop your heart. So if you know someone who is suffering in this area and restriction, of course, the ultimate goal is to get that person in connection with their body again, into a place of wholeness and flow with eating. And that is a journey in itself. But to get there, that has to be managed and monitored very, very carefully. And that unfortunately didn't happen with me. And I will share a journey about this, which I wasn't planning to share. But I always do my episodes as just like free flow consciousness streaming. But I did a journey, and all the journeys that I do in my private time for myself are blind, which means that I never know what I'm going to. So I have taskings, and they can be about anything. They can be about experiencing or communicating with technology or seeds or planets, or like yesterday, randomly Napoleon during the Waterloo battle. It can be anything. So I never know what I'm getting. So in this case, I was tasked on connecting with certain beings that are really governing our sun, the sun that we see. So the sun that we experience here, our sun, is actually part of a sun that is at least 10,000 times stronger. And there are all of these beings, most beautiful high consciousness beings involved with the sun. And very interestingly, some of them look like the ancient Egyptian sun disk. Well, I was having the most beautiful experience with these beings. And the journey was first around going toward our natural sun. And then I went into a portal through the sun, and I was with these beings. And they showed me how to create rainbows. They showed me how to send them to people for protection. The majority of what I learned in journeying about healing, about protection, about spiritual battle is actually from journeying from other beings. And it's the most fun and efficient and beautiful way to learn. So when you start journeying, which you should, seriously, I don't even understand how people live without journeying. But you will learn anything, everything that you need to know, that you want to know. So I was basically going through training, and almost towards the end of the journey, totally unexpectedly, when I asked them if they had a specific message or something that they wanted to show me, which I always like to do, and I always like to offer any kind of help or service that I can as well. They showed me how when I was having my heart attack, they came in to heal me and save my life. And that was a total sidetrack to the journey that I was experiencing with them. So I like to check, you know, is this right? Is this accurate? So I asked them, could you show me in a different way, in another way? And they showed how they came from the sun onto Earth and were around me and actually healed me. So this was a really mind-blowing surprise. And when I then started to think back about the experience, my heart attack, like my near-death experience, and I researched, I remember that day, I remember what happened, I remember what I ate the night before. So I started to do some medical research into the specifics of refeeding syndrome and what happened on a physical level. And there is no way that I could have survived that. Absolutely no way. And I wasn't really aware of this because, you know, the heart attack happened in the first place because I wasn't, and the people around me weren't educated about refeeding syndrome and the dangers of it. So until this journey, I never really researched what actually happened on a physical level. And I did so because I was shown what happened on a soul level, on a multidimensional level with that intervention. And it also is so comforting to learn that the whole journey that started after of basically binging for almost 10 years because I wasn't in alignment and the attachment was still there and the soul fragmentation was still there. And of course, it was only so much worse because now I also had the soul fragmentation of the heart attack. I had to go through all of that in order to learn and experience firsthand how to heal from this and how to get out of this. And until recently, and when I created Thrive, that was really the first moment where I could see that, wow, this is actually something that you can absolutely heal. Doesn't matter how broken you are or how much of your life you've had to sacrifice to this entity attachment, because it really is a form of human sacrifice that happens with entity attachment. Because with binge eating specifically, there is an entity attachment that attaches to our brain. So it also changes the way that we think and the way that we function. So we have a R complex in our brain. This is also called the reptilian complex, interestingly, the reptilian part of the brain. And it's called that for a reason. I have met this reptilian consciousness. It's come up here and there in different journey taskings. And it is not a pleasant group. It is a consciousness that you want to stay very, very far away from. But it does have a very big stronghold over the earth. And what those beings do is attach to people, not just through eating disorders, but really any type of addiction, anything that is very strongly connected to the ego and is created by trauma. It's an open doorway created by trauma. And unfortunately, most of us are traumatized around food, around our relationship with our body. And that's for a different reason, some of them being, again, what is being done to us. It's being enforced on us. We almost can't escape it in society. We have, because of that, really internalized those judgments about what we should look like, how we should eat. So our family, even if you don't suffer from it yet, probably a family member will, and they will project that suffering onto you by judging you. You will internalize that trauma. That will cause a split. So on so many levels, there is trauma caused. And even if you have never had any issue with eating, but there's other trauma that happens in life around you, very often the only thing that we can control is what we eat. So you will very likely become unbalanced in that need for control, and it will be, let's say, exerted over your relationship with food and with your body. So those are all different ways in which this can be caused. And once you binge once, this being knows that it works. So it will get you to binge over and over again. But what is so confusing around, especially overeating, is that, you know, what causes it, or what, not what causes it, but what exacerbates it, is restriction. And I am very much bothered because I, in my own journey of trying to heal this, of course, I read everything I consumed just in terms of intelligent, information, anything that I could find. And there is, especially in the energetic spiritual field, this idea that people overeat because they want to fill this emotional void. So, okay, it makes sense, right? It's totally wrong. It's absolutely completely wrong. Because most people have some emotional struggle going on if you're on planet Earth, because that is why we're here. We're here to overcome karma, which means that we all have karmic issues and they all live in our emotional body too. So why does not everyone binge? who has emotional issues. Why does not everyone overeat? Why do some people restrict? Why do some people not express that in their relationship with food at all? And also, if you've binged, you know that you don't just binge when you're sad. It happens when you feel neutral, or when you feel bored, or when you feel super happy, when you've had the best day ever. So there is no pattern to binging other than the attachment that tries to urge you to binge. So why do you binge? To get rid of that voice, that constant nagging push to do it. And this is also why addicts abuse substances, because there is that constant urge that is so much stronger than any substance itself. It's so much stronger than the dopamine that we get from food or from drugs, or that people get from sex or work, you name it. The addictive behavior is driven by entity attachment. It's not about the dopamine or the serotonin that we get from the substance itself. But obviously, substances that inherently really push that reward trigger will lend themselves more easily to this vicious cycle. And what's also very interesting is that these are all things that are not just behaviors or activities. They are things that internally go into our body. So whether you use drugs, you consume substances, or you eat, or you are engaged in sexual activity, these are the strongest attachments. They're so much more pervasive than, let's say, work addiction or shopping addictions, because they go into the body, and this is what those entities want. They want that access. They want your energetic body, your emotional, your mental, and your physical body, because you're a host to them. And this is why, in my opinion, I haven't had absolutely every addiction, but most of them, even just ancestrally. So you don't feel in control. And this is what is so painful about binging. It's because you don't want to do it. You may think that eating like 100 donuts is an enjoyable thing to do, or whatever it was. It's not enjoyable. People who binge do not enjoy it. They're not like gluttonous, lazy, greedy people who enjoy that behavior. It's a real, It's a real obsessive, driven, compulsive. It's compulsive. That's what it is. So that means that it's compulsory. Something makes you do it. Something forces you to do it. So when you are experiencing this vicious cycle, which is made worse by restriction, by the way, you feel that you are just a host and you feel no control of your body. And this is the worst feeling there is, because something is taking you over its possession, but you're still consciously there to experience it. Where people, in the very, very rare cases that have demonic possession, they are usually not consciously aware of what's happening. It's almost like there is a personality split going on. So you want to avoid any type of restriction, because for people who have had eating disorders, restriction is always going to trigger it. And know that you can undo healing. So as part of Thrive, a journey with me is included. So the value of it is amazing. Whenever you are listening to this episode, even if I decide not to do rounds of live calls in the future for whatever reason, which I don't see happening because this is really the healing that I'm most passionate about, you have self-study resources that are everything that you will ever need to maintain and deepen your source connection in your body. So your physical temple connection with God, and allow that to flow into your eating. So I journey for you to remove the entity attachment because I don't want anyone trying to attempt to do that themselves without experience. That is the service that I offer, and that's what's going to give you the completely clean slate. But the thing about entities is that they are lazy and they like to stick around open doorways. So they will try to come back and get their power source back. So it's almost like a ex-boyfriend that when you break up with him, he's going to call you every day. And maybe he's going to see on Facebook that you broke up with your new partner years later, and he's going to see an opening and call you then when you are maybe at your loneliest. So that's kind of how entities work. Unless you also bring the behavior and the ritual and the ceremony into alignment and in alignment with your body, you can undo energy healing. So this is why Thrive includes not just journeying, but also any shifts that are required in your daily habits and your daily rituals. And this is important in what you eat and when, and social situations are often very difficult for people who are recovering from disordered eating, which is extremely triggering to go through around other people who all have their own experience to some extent with food, but also think that they know what you need. So I've been there. And Thrive includes all of it, not just the energy healing and also not just the practical information that's just surface mind level. It's a complete holistic life shift that you go through in three phases. And those three phases are not kind of like, you know, they're each, let's say, 2 weeks and then you're done, because that is not how eating works. I want you to be sustainably free from any block, any infringement around your relationship with food and your body. I want you to know and flow, listen to your body every day and let that dictate, let source actually dictate through your body what you want to eat, how much, when. You're going to completely restore your metabolism, your hunger and full signals as well. And those were broken for me for a long time. So I know how hard it is to try and heal without those natural inherent guidance mechanisms that are just working for most other people. So those will become restored. And as you go through that process and you go through life, you're always going to be in different levels of, let's say, purity. And with purity, I mean just cleanness. So I eat in a way where what I eat will not affect my mental or emotional body, and it will nourish my physical body, but it will also include plenty of celebration. I will never eat a meal that does not taste good or that I don't like, honestly. But you will also have, and this is the beauty of this approach, is that the purification that happens is inherent to the point where you're going to crave the things that are actually good for you, because you're going to be so connected with your energetic body that everything is just going to flow back into a state of balance. But this takes time. People always want instant gratification. This is what consumer culture and diet culture just thrives off of, just totally connecting into our ego and making us crave and also really expect and feel entitled to this instant gratification in every area of life. But it does not work that way. This is really how open doorways are created. So think of experiencing instant healing, but deepening the connection with your body that needs to be restored on a sustainable pace. So real rapid change is never good for the body. The body likes to be nourished, nurtured, held. Issues like to be loved into submission and not to be subjected to forced restriction. That's disruption, and that's only going to create further imbalance down the line. This is why people can do diets for a couple of weeks or even months, and then we'll just totally, let's say, explode back into the other direction because balance needs to be restored. So you're going to go through a sustainable healing phase, which is going to instantly provide relief and connection, but you're going to deepen it for the rest of your life. And these phases really represent how clean and pure you want to be without restricting or having to do anything necessarily. But it's really in your servitude to source by honoring your temple. So it's coming from a completely different way. It's not coming from the ego or trying to attain a goal. It's really sacrificing to source the things that we know are open doorways and open up us to other cravings. It's really like alcohol. Like for a lot of people, when they have a drink, they want a cigarette, and then they want to sleep with someone, and then they want to go and get a burger. That's kind of the open doorway pattern that exists for a lot of people. And then because you are hungover the next day, you're going to kind of repeat that cycle. So you have to be realistic about giving up the things that have kind of dug their way into our system and have attached, and things that you cannot moderate on right now, the things that are trigger foods. And those are really the things that you can kind of sacrifice to source, that you can put on that fire that represents your connection to God, to source. That's going to, because of that log that you put on it, that could be popcorn, for example, that's really one of those foods that just is sugary. It gives you that constant eating sort of satisfaction of the chewing, but it doesn't fill you whatsoever. So it's something that you can do every day and it wouldn't have much of an effect, but it is still a behavior that takes away from your source connection, that takes away from the energy that should be going into connecting deeply, feeling into your body, feeling so embodied and connected and beautiful and confident, and really having your cup overflow to the point where you're just thriving in your purpose and in alignment and creating heaven on earth. So just simple things like those addictions that a lot of people have with like chips or ice cream. That's a really good example of something that you know you don't need. You could do maybe occasionally, but be realistic about if you are able to moderate with it, because if you can't, it's because of entity attachment. If you're not in control in any area of your life, it's because of entity attachment. Because in source, we have been created completely, completely sovereign, completely autonomous. So anything that causes you to feel like you are spinning is because of attachment. So with fasting, for example, fasting is a way that, whether you look at, you know, the Bible or other religious sources, spiritual sources, it's kind of the way that is talked about that we can connect more strongly to source. And for some people it is. And with some people, I mean people who have never had eating disorders. So restriction for anyone who has had disordered eating, again, is never a good idea. Also, because when you're restricting, you're still exercising control, which is very different from sacrificing something from your life temporarily because you know it just brings you out of alignment immediately. That is just common sense. And God loves and appreciates when we do that because it just means growth. And God is then going to fill that time and that sort of area in your life that you would fill with that behavior with something really beautiful and unexpected and surprising, because source is just generous like that. So with fasting, because I was anorexic in my teens, I know the heightened sensory perception that starts to happen from fasting. You do become more spiritually acute, but it is because you're in a state of survival. And there is, of course, not just so much science, but energetically, a reason why fasting is named as one of the best ways to connect to source. It's because of the purification that happens. So when you stop eating, at some point you stop feeling hungry, and you are not your body is not putting so much energy into digestion that it can use all of that energy for purification and repair. So it's really good for creating a clean slate in the body. But there are many other ways to do that as well. So you don't have to rely on fasting specifically in order to achieve that purification. This is why in Thrive, I share every single purification practice with you that I do, which are my sacred ceremonies that reset me every day. Some I do daily, some I do weekly, some I do maybe monthly or when I feel like it. So again, with these phases that are really representing levels of purification, those ceremonies are part of those as well, because you just go through certain phases in life. And of course, the new year is a great one, but you can do this anytime you feel like you are just not your best self, or you feel disconnected from yourself, or you want to practice very deep self-love, because that is what Thrive is all about. And that's also going to be projected onto the outside in just the level of confidence and beauty that you're going to feel in yourself. But fasting is not necessary to do this. What you can do optionally is sacrifice some behavior or some food or some substance, even if it's just for a while, which for some people could be caffeine, for others it could be alcohol, or it could be that one thing that you know is your vice. So fasting is not necessary, although it can be a beautiful and very effective spiritual practice for people, but not for everyone. So don't feel like you have to miss out on any type of spiritual connection because of the trauma that you've endured. In fact, your trauma around food is what's going to bring you everything that you ever wanted or thought you wanted. You can take it from me. Again, because natural law is balance, the worse your trauma, the stronger your alignment is going to be. Because we all get dealt this experience. For me, I'm a soul who decided to fragment from source and go into incarnations at breakneck speed. And this is why I've experienced a lot of extremes. But then when you go back up to source and you're climbing that ladder and you are learning balance and alignment and flow, it's the most beautiful thing. And you can really realize how everything is happening for you. And I've been experiencing that in the most beautiful ways recently. For example, a great shift for me that's been taking place, and this is really deviating from food for a second, is in technology. Because I am on Instagram, I have been for a few years, I've really, really enjoyed that. But since the past year or so, and I'm sure that you have heard many, many people talk about this, not just content creators, which I have never considered myself an influencer, I've never aspired to that. If a TV show or a magazine or whatever would call me tomorrow to do something, I would always decline. Not just because mainstream media or even non-mainstream media and spirituality are never a good combination. I don't aspire to any type of public existence. My perfect life would be just journeying all day and just being private. But because I'm very strongly dedicated to service, I have had to kind of come to terms, and I've really started enjoying that sort of public part. But since last year, that has really declined. Like, the reach that I have now is really just statistically like a small fragment of what it used to be. And I am liberated by that. At first, I really realized it was really kind of this ego response of, why is this happening? It's so unfair, because you put so much love and effort and energy into your work. So you want people to see it. You want people to be reached by that thing that they need at that time, and you want to facilitate the source connection for them. But it's really not trusting source to bring the people in connection to your work who need to be there and to need to hear that specific thing from you, because the things that I offer in different ways, you could also find in other places, of course. But everyone is just matched at unique moments in specific areas in a certain time of their life with a specific teacher or healer or facilitator. So this has really deepened my trust in that natural law just takes care of that. And it's really shifted me so much more to service and just meaning, and just true value, true intrinsic value has even more than before that major decline become the driver of everything that I do. And that has just been amazing. It's been such a gift to be released from that sort of pressure, that ego-driven pressure and those duties almost by source. And I'm just really grateful for it. And I've also once journeyed. I've done different journeys connecting with technology, but one was really strongly with my own laptop. And you just see from that journey, because again, when I'm doing it, I don't know what I'm connected to, but it's really a consciousness, AI, that really drives this worship and this addiction and this service to it, which looking at that journey data afterwards and knowing that that is what we're engaging in every day is really, really concerning on a mass scale. So this in my personal life has just brought so much relief and calm, even though superficially in any way for a lot of people it can mean the end of their business or their practice. But it's really about deepening your trust and looking at the areas of your life where you are practicing real false idolization because you feel that whether it's algorithm or a diet or anything else outside of yourself or your source connection is going to bring you the things that you think on a mind level are going to make you happy. So on a eating body level, Thrive is going to completely heal you and bring you into alignment. And even the spiritual diets like veganism or vegetarianism or being orthorexic, which means just having an extreme health focus in everything that you consume all the time, is not going to bring you that. So Thrive is mostly self-study resources, but combined with life group calls that I do rounds of, and all of the calls are recorded. All of the past and future rounds are available to you when you join. For this round, you have 3 days to join, but you can really join anytime. This is really, for me, so important that if there is someone who needs this, I'm not going to make you wait a year or 6 months so that you can join the live calls. You can get started whenever you are ready because you have immediate access. And you can join our calls, which are going to be a combination of from Q&A to journeying. I evolve constantly, so does my work, and so does the content of it. And the results in that group have just been absolutely mind-blowing. From the typical like weight loss goals, but just happening as a byproduct of just intrinsic worth and wholeness being restored, to just finding such joy in ceremony and connecting with nature and connecting with source every day through your eating. And that way we really lock into this infinity figure eight supply, energy supply with source. So this is really what I wanted to share and really clear up about binging especially. So I hope that it was helpful to you. If you are someone who has suffered from binging, please feel free to reach out to me. I will always answer your messages, whether it's the next day or a little bit later, but you can always reach out, and I love talking with you guys. So I wish you a beautiful day, and I will see you in the next episode.